Media release earlier today telling me that there is an increasing number of snares being found in the Noordhoek wetland. Caroline Hanks of Project Noordhoek, the project manager, joins us now. Caroline, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
The snares are being set to capture?
All sorts, you know, whatever's out there. Franklin, there was a caracal a couple of years ago, porcupine. So whatever is squeezed into that small patch of paradise is being snort-clapped.
And a fairly significant number of snares have, in a relatively short time, been found and removed.
Correct. And my team, the Project Noordhoek team, have only recently become involved in becoming eyes and ears in the wetland in terms of snare identification and removal. So I'm very excited about this latest development because, you know, we're in the wetland anyway, clearing the massive forests of Port Jackson. And so it makes sense for us to double up and just become eyes and ears.
I was going to say, what about the sort of belief that, yes, it would be preferable if snares were not being set, but then you would need to feed people properly or give them sufficient economic opportunities so they could feed themselves properly, and then they might not feel the need to go and set a snare in a wetland. And Eugene in Noordhoek has anticipated that contribution by saying much of this has plenty to do with the trade in animal fur. Bones, skins, organs, etc. For someone who's hungry, it's much easier to catch a guinea fowl in a box with a few millies. So, I mean, do you have any sense? Has there been any sort of even casual research done as to why the traps are there?
No, in fact, I mean, Eugene's correct. I think it's more about that than hungry people. And, I mean, it's obviously a very tricky thing to be involved in this project because we are surrounded by immense poverty, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I think our wildlife is being increasingly squeezed into these small pockets. And just yesterday, there was a caracal hit on Okaptevec. As far as we know, she's still alive. But it's just important that we do our very best to try and retain what's left of basically it's national park land. And it is absolutely magnificent down there. In the indigenous sections where we work, you know, it's just beautiful. The bird life is prolific. So we need to do our very best to retain that.
Are there any small antelope that would inhabit the fringes of or move through the wetland? Do they have any data there, anything like that?
There's Gijsbok, the one chap that we went, he took us tracking about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He sent me lots of photographs of vast Gijsbok middens, and he believes that maybe the population is increasing, which is fantastic news, but obviously we've got to make sure they don't get snared. And the snares are incredibly rudimentary, John. You know, it's wire, string, but they're everywhere. And they're obviously using the Port Jackson to place them on. So the quicker we can sort that problem out, hopefully we can sort the snare issue out.
And are the paths where the snares are being set paths that are walked on by humans with their dogs or walked on by feral dogs and cats, are they being caught?
Well, funny enough, the one tracker's puppy was caught while he was with the dog, thankfully. So, but, you know, the wetland is not highly utilized by residents of Noordhoek, unfortunately, mainly because of safety issues and also because it is so stuffed with aliens. So we want to, you know, really try and improve that and increase access in a well-managed way so that people can appreciate the amazing ecosystem that we have on our doorstep.
You know, wetlands, urban wetlands are even more under threat than wetlands out of urban areas, but everywhere they are under threat, and everywhere they are an incredibly important contributor to water filtration and all sorts of other good things. We need a lot more conservation energy going into conserving the wetlands that are being lost at a pretty scary rate across South Africa.
They are indeed, yep. And I mean, we've noticed, you know, just the small sections that we have cleared, you know, you notice very quickly how the indigenous stuff comes back and the bird life is enhanced. So it's just so important we get a handle on the Port Jackson, and our project has been at it for about a year and a half now. But obviously we're just constantly in need of funding. Just a shout out to the Noordhoek Ratepayers Association. They've been incredibly supportive of our work. And they very recently donated a chainsaw, an electric chainsaw, to our project, which has just increased our productivity tenfold.
How many Port Jacksons do you need to get rid of?
Oh, gosh. it's forests, really.
In the hundreds, possibly even over a thousand. As many as thousands.
Absolutely. No, it's thick stands of stuff. And as you well know, nothing can grow underneath that. Yeah. So it's also a harbour for the snares. So we're just excited about this new side of the project because it's far more sort of ecosystem driven for us. Another side of what we do is just pick up ocean plastic off the beach and roadside. This feels a lot more sort of integral to Nuruk for me.
And Caroline, anybody who's listening now who lives in the sort of vague area and goes, "Ooh, I wouldn't mind. I have some spare time every now and then. I wonder if my spare time coincides with a Port Jackson clearance team." What would people go to in order to make contact to find out when and where you meet and all those sorts of things?
Absolutely. No, they're welcome to have a look on our Facebook page. It's very active, and they would find out what days we work. It's generally 2 days a week with our team of four guys when they go into the wetland, and people are welcome to join in as long as they've got a pair of gloves and they get a brief training from our guys because they know how to cut correctly and use herbicide, which is essential for Port Jackson.
And the herbicide essential to prevent regrowth.
Absolutely. If you don't and you just cut it, it coppices in a matter of months.
And I presume because you're involved, Caroline, and I've over the years, you and I have had many conversations. You've had many conversations with Pippa as well and other of my colleagues. So I know with absolute certainty that you wouldn't use a herbicide which was in any way threatening to the purity or the purity you're trying to reestablish in the wetland. So there are such herbicides available?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, we've been advised and recommended by the people in the field who've been at this for many, many years, and we use the right stuff, and obviously we don't splash it all over the place. We're very cautious, but it's essential. Unfortunately, it's one of the downsides of having to control Port Jackson is you have to use a herbicide.
Somebody has said to me in a WhatsApp that unless you pull the roots out of a Port Jackson tree, there's nothing you can do. Is that your experience? Is that your expert advice?
Well, you can't pull the roots out when the tree is sort of higher than waist width because they're just height, because they're so long and so tough. So you have to use loppers or chainsaws or bow saws. That's another angle to this is that the roots of Port Jackson go on forever and they're tapping into the aquifer. So another reason to get rid of them.
I hope you will get more financial support. I hope you will get more hands and arms and heaving thighs and all of those bits of the body.
Thank you, John.
Caroline Hanks, project manager of Project Noordhoekt. And if you'd like to find out more, you can go along to their Facebook page.